I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us again on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. First and foremost, I'd like to apologize for my nasal voice. It's rain season and flus and colds are going around. Secondly, but more importantly, I'm joined by my special guest and darling sister, Sister Razia Shamri. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's so good to be here with you after such a long time.
It really has. We have a lot to talk about, some really interesting topics too. A little different from what we used to do. Some pragmatic, some trending stuff that a lot of women are dealing with. And of course, Muslim ladies are no exception to this matter. But what I understand from the little chat we had before the recording is that you intend on talking about the ever so fabulous topic of shopping.
Actually, shopping is something that whenever I myself, I feel really low in moods and I want to mood change. It's one of the options on my list.
Seriously?
It is.
It makes you feel better?
It makes me feel better.
It's your little pick-me-up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I see it in the women around me. It's something that my mom used to do. You know, when she was feeling very homesick, when we were not in Iran, when we were in Canada, the one thing that lifted her spirit, one of the things, was to do shopping.
Get out.
No, seriously.
That is so cute.
And that is in the corner of my mind. Mm. It's been in the corner of my mind since my childhood. And I always wondered, what is it that women like love to do shopping, even when their wardrobes are, you know, exploding from different kinds of clothes? What is it psychologically that women love to do shopping? And it's the remedy. Even I remember that some couples, when they have problem, like arguments, spousal debates and discussions and like
disagreements.
Yeah. One thing that the man can use, one strategy, is to take her shopping and to get her something, and then she'll feel better and then they will make up.
Seriously.
No, and this was always on my mind, and I thought, like, let's do research and find out, and let's see, like, to what extent we have to do it, to what extent is approved, Islamically speaking, and let's go a little deep down to the roots.
We're gonna put shopping under the Islamic microscope.
Yeah, also, at some point of our discussion, we're going to talk about that, too.
Okay.
So should I start? You don't like shopping yourself?
No. I hate it so much.
Wow.
I hate it with passion. I hate it religiously.
So how do you do your shopping?
I shop maybe once a year. It's winter time. I need winter clothes. I need to change my boots every year because apparently my feet have teeth and they gnaw on my boots. Yeah, I just shop once a year, maybe twice a year. Winter time and summertime. That's it.
Wow. And do you do it with, like, you just grab the things that you want?
Yes. I go in, I grab, I come out.
Exactly the attitude of men. Yeah. And it's interesting that someone was doing a research. Actually, I was reading a short article called Why Women Love to Shop and Men Hate the Mall. I saw this as I was doing the research. I think it was CBS news channel that had published this article. And this guy, this researcher who had gone on a winter vacation with his wife and the group, he said that when it was at one point in our trip, the men wanted to go sightseeing and the women wanted to go shopping.
What?
This happens a lot. In a lot of my trips also, we have this argument that men, like one day of the trip, like even if it's a three-day trip, one day has to be allocated to shopping.
Shop for what?
I don't know. When you go somewhere, especially when you're traveling, you have to do the shopping. You have to go see like the fashion, the designs, you know, how of that country or of that city, you know, the culture.
But what does it matter? Would you not would you not see, okay, the trend in the fashion you can see on the people wearing clothes in the streets, in the sites you will go to see.
No, that's and the culture, totally
and
different.
The architecture and in the food and in the streets. And
yeah, yeah. All of them are also included. But then one specific part of the trip has to be dedicated to shopping. I'm very surprised that you're a woman and you're like so disagreeing with this whole idea.
This is Muslim Lady. We are talking about the fascinating topic of shopping and why women adore it, why it revives them, it brings them back to life, and why men, well, they're not very crazy about it. I'm joined by Sister Razia Shamili, and stay with us on this discussion.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So we're back, and we've been talking about shopping. I either need clothes, right?
Right.
Or I need, like, dust collectors for the house. And they're called dust collectors for a reason. Vases and, you know, things to put around the house and stuff like that. I don't like them. I don't understand the objective, and they're called dust collectors for a reason.
That
they collect dust.
That is so true. That is
right?
So true.
Or you shop for clothes. And for clothes, it's just that, I mean, how much clothes can we possibly wear?
Never enough. Seriously. I open the wardrobes of the ladies in my family and relatives, and seriously, they are exploding. Maybe, you know, sometimes there are clothes lying there that are not even used once a year.
Exactly. That is, never mind the fact that you have to go through the trouble of calculating the khums on.
Exactly. Do you have to? Well, if you wear it once a year, you don't have to calculate
once
the khums.
Fine.
Right. So that is exactly the purpose why, Islamically speaking, you're in numerous teachings of the Quran and in the ahadith that we have from the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, we are reminded constantly that you are here in this world for a short time, and let not the glitters of this world beguile you.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually reading a hadith from the Noble Prophet where he was talking to the different people in different ages. He said, 20-year-olds, strive and, you know, try to work hard in the second decade of your life. Or 30-year-olds, do this, 40, 50.
Interesting.
And at one point, he said to the 30-year-olds, be careful not to let the glitters and glamour of this worldly life to beguile you.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you're looking at it from a capitalist perspective, in this world that we're living, the whole purpose is to gain more profit. I mean, I'm talking from the point of view of the capitalist system, right? Mm. So they need to produce more and more every day.
Exactly.
They need more trends, more fashion, more style to be
exactly.
on
display.
Exactly,
and they make commercials and ads, and they set trends in magazines
right.
and on the red carpets, and that just encourages consumerism for people to constantly feel that if I don't buy this, I'm either out of trend or I'm not fashionable enough or I'm lame or I'm not updated, up
exactly.
to date with what my peers are doing.
That is so true. And the other thing is that people's these days have become very superficial. And their eyes and their minds and their brains lie in what they see. And they don't like to go delve a little deeper into the layers of a person.
Women in Imam Khomeini's idea.
On the criterion of taqwa or piety, Imam Khomeini states, there is no difference existing between groups in Islam except in taqwa and fearing the obedience of the Almighty God. Imam Khomeini states on the subject of corruption, The benevolent spirit of the Prophet of God and the Immaculate Imams, alayhi salam, are in a state of anxiety and horror at the prospect of the leaves of the tree of the prophetic mission, wilayat, and guardianship falling and drying away. The Holy Prophet has remarked that marry in order to produce children. For verily, I take pride in you in relation with other nations, even if the child is aborted. This is from 40 hadiths that Imam Khomeini has quoted.
So we're back, and we've been talking about shopping.
Naturally, automatically, when you see someone for the first time, what attracts you to the person is the physical appearance of that person, what that person, how the style of that person, the hairstyle is, the beard style, the makeup, even the makeup, the colors that you use for your lipstick, for your shadow, the clothes that you wear, like even if you have piercing, tattoos these days are becoming so trendy. All these, I'm saying that people care about superficiality, and it's people are attracted so
much.
Yeah,
of course.
So if not to be fall behind from the like the trendy stylish people, you are somehow forced.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, I believe it's Islamic as well. We have so many narrations about how the Imams alayhi salam dressed according to their time, right? Sure,
and to their position and prestige.
Exactly.
Remember?
It was cool for Amir al-Mu'mineen to dress in coarse clothes and eat dry, stale bread because the majority of the Muslim ummah at that time were
under poverty.
Yes. It took him almost 5 years to bring everyone to a good, like, average, above average right. level. But then after that, during the times of Imam al-Sadiq or Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, the Imams were fashionable and they were questioned for it too. And they're like, dude, it's like different times, you know?
Exactly.
But to an extent.
Exactly.
We always talk about how Islam is here to establish balance for us, right?
Definitely. Yeah. As far as you, your attention and your emphasis in life and all that you care and, you know, the core of your value system, as far as if this is shifted away from material life,
yes.
because there is no end to it.
Yes.
And it's something, Zainab, something interesting about the material world is that once you buy that thing, the second moment, the second day, all that enthusiasm, all that glitter, it falls away.
Yes, exactly. And then you're filled with a deeper void.
Exactly.
It's horrible, and the cycle goes on.
Exactly.
It reminds me of that hadith from Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, where his eminence says, this world and taking from this material world is like drinking seawater. Mm. The more you drink, the thirstier you get until
exactly.
you die.
Exactly.
It's scary.
It's very scary, but
that's all the time we have. The scarier part is that's all the time we have. Thank you so very much for being with us on this episode. Thank you, Sister Razia.
Thank you.
Much more to be talked about on this discussion, so make sure to stay tuned. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the love one?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger to Allah.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.